This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dale, and welcome here to the Christian War Room. Just to reiterate, Christian War Room, it's not about, fighting against flesh and blood. It's not about buying weapons and employing them. It's not about those things, but it is about strongholds and strongholds which set themselves up against the knowledge of God and to demolish these strongholds. Now, these strongholds are spiritual. These strongholds are ideas. These strongholds are concepts people believe and which are pushed in society. And it's our job to tear them down and to proclaim the truth, to proclaim the knowledge of God. And that's really leaning on a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, so you can check it out, it's in there. But we find this terminology in the New Testament, that we are in a state of war, that we are soldiers for Christ, that we have to fight the good fight, that we have to put on the armor of God. And it's not extensively, but it is there. There are quite a number of scriptures which discuss this. And so what we're doing here at the moment is in this series of the War Room is we are looking at different aspects and at different ideas of stuff which needs tackling. Yeah? So when I look at the War Room, again, a War Room is just a place where you get together. You strategize about a problem, about an issue. You make notes. You research a subject. You research what is the Bible got to say about the subject. You know, what has God got to say about the subject? You package it and you pump it back out there. Yeah? And that is really the weapon which we are using. It is to present the knowledge to a lost world, and also at the same time to include the gospel, the message of the gospel. And Mark 16 talks about that we need to preach the gospel to all of creation, and that is very, very important. Yeah, that is very important. Okay, I've created a small list, and it's obviously this is stuff I can't do myself, and I don't intend to, but this talk is meant to inspire you to set up your own little war room, to make an effort of engaging into fighting some bad ideas which are in this world. And it's like every day when I sort of look at what the news presents and what is coming out of it, it's sometimes shocking what people in this world are doing, what they're getting up to, and how they are moving away from the way God wants them to be. I mean, the last thing I looked at was a newscast in Germany about genderism. And so you've got kids in kindergarten, and they are taught that, there are a daddy and a daddy and a mommy and a mommy, and not necessarily the traditional model of a mother and a father. And it goes even further that kids in some schools are encouraged to change gender roles. So they encourage, or not encourage, every boy has to turn up in a dress and every girl in male clothing, and even the teachers do the same thing. Now, to me, this borders child abuse, and this goes right into the fabric of society. Yeah. Gender is something that is determined, that is being given to you. And it is not something you can choose. It's the same as, who you are, where you are born. Yeah. It's a given. It's not something you can choose or change. Yeah. Some of the liberals will probably go on the barricades right now and say, of course you can change it because you go to the doctor, they do a bit of a snippity-snip, and certain things are removed and certain things are stuck on. But there's still a body you are dealing with, and the body has either got several trillion cells containing an XY chromosome or an XX chromosome, and you can't change that. You cannot change so far. I mean, who knows? Maybe they get there one day as well. I doubt it. You cannot put a womb into a man, or you cannot put semen production facilities into a woman. Yeah? So that's... That doesn't happen. And so there is a big, big problem in society right now. Anyway, I was just watching this film and I thought, you know, this is just going really from bad to worse. I mean, stuff we are seeing today has not been happening for thousands of years. We've had all sorts of crazy stuff going on, but we had nothing like this in any way or format. And it's time for the church to rise up, and we aren't rising up. We have done so in some areas. We've done so, for example, in the area of evolution. Some people started rising up, and the advantage of the first strike, so to say, was on the side of the Darwinists. Even some court cases in America about Darwinism and evolution and what should be taught and creation versus creationism and what should be taught in schools. And the creationists said nothing to start off with to oppose the Darwinists. And going down, you know, 100 years down the line or 150 years down the line, and we have now got Darwinism destroyed. Obviously, scientific community doesn't want to accept this, but when you look at the arguments, there's just nothing. There's absolutely nothing supporting the theory of evolution. All we have is just like a lot of circular reasoning. So one idea is based on another idea, but there's no empirical facts behind it. There's just nothing behind it. And that is thanks to a small group within the church who have risen up and who have been opposing this theory, who have been opposing the status quo, very often at great costs to themselves, great academic costs, as scientists were rising up and saying, this doesn't work, this is just not right. Okay. So we need to set up as well, and I mentioned yesterday, I think, that do not despise a day of small beginnings, and do not despise, you know, just sitting down with a couple of friends and to discussing an area which has gone desperately wrong in society and where people are totally confused and have lost the plot. Do not think that you are not reaching anybody. I've met a couple of guys. I mean, one of my Francis is called Trey Smith. I mean, he came from nothing, and he just had a vision. He just had a vision to present the gospel. He went against all the prosperity gospel. He had some personal experience, but he was a guy who came from nothing. You know, a guy who was living on the streets, homeless. Yeah, and he went by just following, you know, what God has laid on his heart. He has been gaining millions of viewers on videos he's making, and he's become a renowned filmmaker, but not within the establishment, just sort of on the edge of society. There's another guy as well, just an ordinary box standard guy, put a video together, and within a very short time, he's called Shield of the Sun, if you want to check him out. His name is Michael, and within a short time, he got about over 500,000 views on one of his videos. And it is quite remarkable. I think the highest number of views is a couple of 20,000-30,000. It's not a Christian video either, but don't despise these times. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Yeah. Things can happen and things can go very, very viral when you've got your war room and when you start engaging in research and you find some very interesting aspects as well. Okay, right, let's have a look at some of the subjects which we need to cover. I've got a list of I wanted to put a list down of maybe 12 subjects and make a war room radio show on these 12 items. And I ended up with a list of, I think, in excess of 50 or more. I haven't counted them, might even be 100. But a lot of things which we need to cover in our war rooms. And this is stuff for you to do. Now, one of the things which is quite important, and everybody's talking about it, and it's sort of heading, and it's sort of semi-prophetic, and that is the whole thing about globalism. Yeah. When you hear politicians, they talk about it. They talk about the new world order. They talk about we are living in a global society, and that globalism is the next big thing. And again, you know, this is my call out to you. It's my call out to the war rooms up and down the country, up and down the West, the East, the North, and the South. What is globalism? What is it? Where does it come from? I mean, straight away, you know, looking at the Bible, we've got the first attempt of globalism at the Tower of Babel, where God said to the people, you know, scatter across the face of the earth. And the people said, no, we don't want this. We all want to stick together. And we're going to build some sort of tower. Some people say it was probably a portal, you know, to go into different dimensions or something. Who knows? But anyway, they refused to scatter across the earth. They wanted to stick together. They wanted to, you know, work on a project and make a name for themselves or whatever it is. And that is the first attempt of globalism, where all mankind comes together to do their thing, not to do God's thing. And I think that's a little bit what is happening today, where we've got globalism, where I believe, when I look at the Old Testament, that there is a concept of nation states. And it's a good thing as well, because with nation states, we have got a little bit of checks and balances. So if the leaders of one nation go a little bit crazy and they start oppressing the people, other nations can rise up. Yeah? And we've seen this in history happening all the time, that there are empires rising and falling, and that there are a little bit, you know, checks and balances with various empires. And I think that this is very important. Now, what we find now is we want a new world order. There are all these rumors going around and ideas which are going around, where some few people decide what is the best for the vast majority of us. And that's what they what the New World Order wants to do. One thing which is worthwhile to check out, they are the so-called Georgia Guidestones. And it's a very godless affair, you know, when you look at those Guidestones and what they're trying to achieve. But that's a really interesting thing when you look at them. Also, when you look at the location where they've been placed and you do a little bit of research around them, what these stones are actually saying. And one of the scary things is they want to reduce the world population to about 500 million, which means that about 80% plus of the world population needs to be culled. And obviously that's a big problem. You know, who voluntarily wants to go? But again, we are talking the elites, we are talking the people right at the top. We are talking some people behind the background who are pursuing the globalist agenda. I would go as far and I would say that it is an anti-Christian, an anti-God agenda, if not to say a satanic agenda. And they are sort of pushing all these things along. Yeah. So it's worthwhile to do some research and to ask ourselves a couple of questions. Number one is, what is globalism? Then the next one is, what does Bible prophecy say about globalism? And again, when you look at the Bible and you look at you know, the book of Revelation, you look at Daniel, there is a great suggestion that there is a super dictator that is coming up and who will pretty much take over the world and initiate a huge control, you know, even down to the economic level. So it's going to be control on the spiritual level, where you've got the false prophet endorsing the so-called Antichrist, the beast. You've got political and militarily, yeah, sort of subjugation control. And then right down to the level, you've got economic control as well, where people are required to take the mark, the sign of the beast, and worship the image of the beast. Yeah. So that is what the Bible says. Now, the big question is, how does globalism feed into this, and how are the structures sort of moving into this direction? There are other things as well which we see and which are taking place when we look at the whole idea of globalism. We've got ideas about connecting different nations together. So we've got the EU. Again, a lot of people believe that the EU is the basis of the Antichrist. Again, others, they contest this and they say, no, it's got to be somewhere in the Middle East. Some Americans would maybe put it to America as well. But we've got sort of a tying together of various nations. In the EU, we've got about 28 nations which are pulled together. It seems it's falling away, it's breaking away at the seams now. Britain is leaving the EU. I've heard some stuff about Italy as well, that Italy has got elections, and a lot of people in Italy, they are tired of the EU, and they are maybe voting for parties which will be pushing for seceding from the EU. There's similar voices heard in Greece and in a lot of other places as well. And I don't know whether this is going to be the sign towards the end that, you know, everything is going to speed up to tie it all together before it's all over. We don't know. There are also voices in America. We've got the NAFTA agreement with Canada, Mexico. And again, ideas are there to extend the whole thing. There's a Pacific trade agreement where a lot of nations sort of try to come together to have some sort of agreement to trade freely and so on. A lot of this stuff is getting unhinged now with the Trump revolution that is taking place. We don't know how far it's going to get unhinged. There's an idea that the people in the background, they won't allow this to happen, but we don't know. Anyway, what are we going to do as Christians? So the first problem is we need to really understand what is going on. We shouldn't just follow, the odd conspiracy theory, which is pushed here and there. We shouldn't follow ideas which are pushed about in the internet or, you know, elsewhere. But we should do some real research to try and find out what is happening politically. Has this happened before? What are the changes which have been taking place over the last sort of 10, 20 years with regards to globalism? What kind of contracts are in place? What ambitions are made by different nations in with the attempt to tie all the different nations together? And what is the prophetic status? What is the prophetic status as far as the Bible is concerned with with globalism? We don't know, and I think there isn't a lot of information out there. So it might be a subject for the War Room to go right into this. So we've got the New World Order. We've got globalism. Georgia Guidestones might be a starting point to go into this. We need to look at politics as well. What is happening in the world of politics with regards to globalism? And then also, we talked about the ecumenical movement, and that's partly something which feeds into this direction as well, where everything has got to be united under one church, under one organization or institution. Okay, how many minutes have we got left? We've got about 10 minutes left. Let's look at another subject which we should maybe tackle within the War Room. I'm just looking down my list. I'm trying to make it related. A biggie, as I mentioned before, is politics. Yeah? We need to understand what's going on in politics. Also, I mean, how many Christians do we have in politics? It's a big, big question. I mean, I've heard some stuff and some stories which have gone around that a lot of politicians are compromised. Yeah? And so somebody, you know, gets into parliament, and the stories, I've heard them here from England, I've heard them from America. I'm not sure whether this is true. There seems to be a lot of information coming through suggesting that there might be something to it. But one of the first things they try to do is they try to corrupt whoever is in power. And there are a couple of ways of doing this. One of them is you pay them a lot of money, and if they go and follow the money trail, and then they just take your instructions and everything is wonderful. If they are not bribable, they try to get them. They try to get them in a compromised position. So that might be, of a sexual nature of some sort or another. Photos are made. The politician knows that those photos have been made. And then what you find is that the politician is told how to vote and what to say. And at that point, a politician is compromised, and there's no more danger to be expected from the politician as far as the background people are concerned. Now, is this true? Is this not true? If this is true, it's an horrendous situation, and that is pretty much the death of democracy. And at that point, we need to have our war rooms in action. And there are a couple of things we can do. Is one of them is to pray for people to enter the world of politics who cannot be compromised and who are not willing to be compromised, and who don't care, whether their reputation is smeared. but who care about their own integrity and about the integrity of the office they take. Again, it's something we need to look at as a church and as the Christian body to see whether we can change. We can actually make a change, and we can actually make democracy work, which is very, very difficult, I think. Okay, how many minutes have we got left? So that's one idea of some war room activity we could engage in. Okay, I'm just looking at my little list here. It's maybe one more point I could stick in here, and within this field of politics and globalism. Globalization. Okay. And I don't think there's anything. Yeah. How many minutes have we got left? We have got about 8 minutes left. Okay, let's look at a completely different area. Again, sort of all we are doing here is we are looking at themes, at things you could sort of try and take on. I did talk in the past about fake news and Christian news. And again, it's a very, very difficult situation. Let me put this in, it kind of fits in with politics as well. We've got a problem of fake news, you know, and Trump has done a big fuss about it, and he talked about CNN and other news organizations being the fake news media, pro-Hillary against him, and distorting truth and distorting reporting. And again, a lot of politics is decided and is moved or shifted through the news outlets. Once you realize how monopolized the news outlets are in these days, that you've got a couple of news agencies, they collect all the news worldwide, and then they distribute them to regional news agencies, and everything is controlled by just a handful of people or a handful of organizations, and sometimes even different organizations. They are still, controlled by one person. Yeah? Even though they've got different names, they belong to one person. And so one is left wing, one is right wing, but the owner is one guy who owns both of them, both of the news outlets. Again, it's a huge problem. I was talking to Trey about it some time ago. We were talking about trying to get some sort of independent news media set up where you've got like reporters from all over the country, all over the world, who could go to places and report. I mean, one thing which really struck me is when some of the Iraq wars were on in the Middle East. I remember the first war, Germany wasn't involved, Britain was involved, America was involved. And I was watching the German and the British news coverage, and you had the impression that they were talking about two different wars. I'm not quite sure how it all came together, but I know that the people producing and generating the news were very different on either side. And to me, it was quite eye-opening to see what is really going on. My thinking is that we cannot trust the news media. The news media is heavily flawed towards an agenda which feeds into globalism, which feeds into the whole one world and new world order thing. And the people behind those outlets are very often the key and the ringleaders of the new world order. And again, we need to be aware of this and try and provide an alternative. And one of the things may be a Christian war room that dedicates itself to news production and to trying to find the news. I tell you how it's done in some secret services, from what I've picked up. Very often they've got a big room with lots of satellite dishes connected to all sorts of different satellites, and all via the internet, and they're just picking up news streams from all over the world. So they're picking them up from Saudi Arabia, from Russia, from Iran, and Western Europe, and America, and all over, all different news outlets, And they are just sort of collecting information on an ongoing basis. And you've got lots of people there who are paid to just watch them, sometimes native speakers as well. And they are just extracting news from all these, or information, intelligence, from all these different channels. And maybe this is something what we need to get into, that, you know, somebody just sits down once a week and just scanning what is really going on, scanning different news outlets from different countries who are not necessarily controlled by a small group of people, as it is in the West very often, and dictating to us what news we hear and what news we are not going to hear. Again, it always surprises me when you pick up on news in certain countries or certain parts of the world, and it is not presented on the main and the dominant news media. It's just, you know, gone silent. Nobody reports about it. Instead, they report about something else, something totally irrelevant, and a big news event, maybe some catastrophe somewhere, a nature event or something, is just completely doused into silence. So a big problem, in my opinion. We need to do something about this. Okay, let me sum this up. We have got globalism, a big problem. Try and look at the Georgia Guidestones and evaluate what's written on them. That's pretty much the manifesto of the globalists. There's a new world order, which they try to push. President Bush, number one, he started it off, and he started talking about the new world order. I'm sure they wanted to push it through by the year 2000 or earlier, but somehow they didn't manage to, bearing in mind that the last word is still with God and not with the globalists. And then we have to look at the news media as well. We need to evaluate what is going on, and we need to make sure that people get informed, that they can understand what is really going on in this world, and they've got an alternative outlet to listen to. What can we do with the news media? There are a lot of interesting news outlets. There's one which I used to look at is worthynews.com, and they just collect different news items from different news agencies. There are interesting news outlets. I tend to listen to the Russian news, which is fairly objective, anything not to do with Russia. That's my opinion. And so I tend to listen to RT. France 24 has got quite some interesting news. But then you always have to bear in mind that a lot of the news agencies, again, they're controlled by a very small number of people. And so you don't necessarily get to hear what you need to hear. Okay, this is the War Room. You can check us out and you can listen to more of these talks at the War Room, ChristianWarRoom.com. So that's the URL, that's the web address. And again, please feel free to leave comments. You can do this, I think, in the post section on the website. You don't need to log in or anything. I don't think you do. So I would love to hear from you. And also, I really want to encourage you to get going and to set up a Christian war room, you know, wherever you are, and to zoom into one of these subjects, do some research, produce some materials, and get them out there. And more importantly, tie in the gospel message with whatever you produce. Okay, Lord, I want to praise you. I want to thank you for this time. I want to thank you that ultimate news is with you, Lord. The truth is with you. You said in your word that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to God. No one comes to the Father except through you. I pray, Lord, help us to get this message into this world, that people will hear and understand that you are the truth and that you are the answer to all things. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Schonborn. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.